Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 1. I read for you again these words. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So far, the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world, the Epiphany season has two main themes that are closely related. First of all, the word Epiphany means manifestation, appearing, revealing, or a shining forth. The emphasis is on Jesus being revealed as divine, the very Son of God. This happens when the wise men are guided by a star to seek and find Jesus. It happens at Jesus' baptism, as the Spirit descends and the voice of the Father speaks. It happens when Jesus casts out demons, heals many and various diseases and afflictions, and performs other miracles. The season ends with his transfiguration, when his divinity really does shine forth. The second theme of the season is evangelism, that is, the telling the good news about Jesus. When that happens, God fulfills through his church what he spoke of Christ. "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Now, when we think of evangelism, we often have in mind techniques and programs to increase church attendance or membership. That's the goal. We think if we just do the right things or enough of them, that the numbers will go up. It's all very pragmatic. And so there's no end to the number of programs available. The problem is they don't really work. Try as we might, the numbers don't grow. But true evangelism is really quite simple and natural. If we believe in Jesus and follow him, we will naturally tell others of him and invite them to join us. And any results are up to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see in today's gospel. John, who'd been chosen by God to prepare the way for Christ by preaching repentance and baptizing, now proclaims the Messiah who has come. He had seen what happened when Jesus was baptized. The heavens were opened. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And the Father spoke words of his approval of Jesus. John saw the signs which he had been promised by God. Jesus was manifested as the very Son of God who would save the world from sin. So, John proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Yes, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He comes from God and is in fact God, as John later declares. God himself had come to take on your flesh and your sin in order to save you. And that's what the Lamb of God does. Absolutely no one and no sin is excluded from Christ's work. From the first human being to the last, from the sin of Adam and Eve to the last sin ever to be committed, Jesus takes all the sin away. But notice that it's sin, not sins. Jesus came to save the world from the sinful condition of the entire human race in its state of rebellion, separation from God, and spiritual death. And all of this is seen in all that we do that is contrary to God's word and will. And this is important, because if Jesus does not take away the sin of the world, how could you ever be sure that he took your sin or my sin away and rescue you from your sinful condition? And yet, because he did and does take away the sin of the world, you can be sure that he took your sin and all of it at that. He didn't leave some of it for you to handle or to work out. He took it all away. It's now his. And how did this come about? Isaiah tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Indeed, that's how it went for Jesus. When he was arrested, he didn't try to defend himself. Rather, we're told, Pilate was surprised that Jesus would not answer him and defend himself. Then, when Jesus was nailed to the cross on Calvary, he effected our salvation. And lest we ever forget that what Jesus had to endure to earn our forgiveness and our salvation. We hear what St. Peter writes. Knowing that you were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Yes, the perfect and spotless Lamb of God was sacrificed for the sin of the world on the altar of the cross. The blood shed by that Lamb assures us that God passes over us and gives us life, even as the blood on the doorposts of the Israelites in Egypt assured them of this. So, later, when you sing, O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us, you can be sure that he does have mercy on you. When you look upon the very body and blood of the Lamb of God, there's no chance at all that any of your sin is left behind when Jesus took it on himself and carried it up Calvary. There is no possibility at all that even one of your sins was not placed on the head of the Lamb of God. For when the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, he most certainly takes away all your sin. And when the Lamb of God takes away your sin, those sins are taken away. For your sins are not too many or too large for Jesus' sacrifice. He has taken away all your sins, even those you don't know about or remember. Even those you try to hide and keep secret. He has not left them for you to deal with or to work on. He hasn't taken away the sin of the world, only to leave yours lying around for you to handle. Rather, when Jesus takes away your sin, He removes those sins as far as the east is from the west. Why would you ever want to keep them for yourself and live in them and die in them? So, what does this have to do with evangelism? Well, John directed two of his disciples to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." Those disciples heard this and they followed Jesus. And when he asked them, "What are you seeking?" they asked where he was staying. Jesus answered, "Come and see." They did. Then one of those, Andrew, told his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That's it. That's evangelism. He told Peter about Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus. You see, evangelism starts here, where Jesus is, in the flesh, with his word and spirit, in the water, in the bread and wine, bestowing his death and resurrection on sinners, reconciling them to the Father. The preacher points you to Jesus, and you are evangelized. You are gospeled by the preaching and sacrament. Then you go out to your home, to your community, to your vocations, your various stations in life, and you tell those in your life about Jesus as Andrew told Peter. You bring them to the place Jesus is staying, as Andrew did with Peter. You bring them to church so they can hear for themselves and be evangelized or gospeled by the Lord in his preaching and sacrament. You need more examples? Parents bring their children to holy baptism and the divine service. They make sure kids are in Sunday school and catechism class. They talk about the things of the Lord and God's Word at home. Spouses encourage one another and hold each other accountable to regularly attend Bible study and the divine service. You have a friend or co-worker going through a difficult time. You know they need Jesus. You send them a gospel-centered note of encouragement and invite them to come to church with you. You visit a loved one who is sick and pray with them for the Lord's mercy. You rejoice with a friend on his birthday, giving all praise to Christ. You mourn with a wife who has lost her husband, and you console her with Christ's resurrection victory over death. And there's more. Don't forget what St. Paul tells us about our receiving the Eucharist. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Your presence at this altar receiving the gifts of Jesus is a witness proclaiming Christ crucified. It's an encouragement to your pastor and your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a witness to the world of the gospel truth. The very most important evangelism you can do is to be where Jesus is, forgiving your sins and giving you eternal life. The very most important evangelism you can do is to come to church. That's what it means to follow Jesus, to be his disciple. Be where he is, hearing him. This is what it means to be a royal priest of God. Point others to Jesus and tell them that he is the sacrifice for their forgiveness and their life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God grant that we follow him now and always. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.